జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం త్రిలా ప్రవిష్టం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి మామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గౌ గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయాపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గురుంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చాతేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యల్ సూరయ తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తగుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్రపరమో నర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తుశివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభిః శుశ్రూషుభిః తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖానమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబత భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుగాః సచిదానందరూపాయ నిశోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైభాయ నో విరహగాదరవాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదూ తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారవేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపమతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయా పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుమువయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేత్ కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకుణిదాదృదానేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారేర్మధురిన్నా కనికావి కావి కావి నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ట యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం పాదాలయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి కోమలం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మపాసదాంబురదో మమ మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం യൽക്കുതാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ ഇന്ന് ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതം റൈറ്റ് നൗ വി ആർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് വാട്ട് സുദേവ് ഗോസ്വാമി ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് ടു പരീക്ഷിത് ഇൻ ടേംസ് ഓഫ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ടു ഉദ്ധവ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ടോൾഡ് ഉദ്ധവ ദാറ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ദി ജ്ഞാനമാർഗം ഇൻ ദ 13th ചാപ്റ്റർ കൃഷ്ണ ഗ്ലോറിഫൈഡ് ദി ഭക്തി പ്രോസസ് ഇൻ ദി 14th ചാപ്റ്റർ വി ഹവ് സീൻ യഥാത്മാ പരിമൃജ്യതേ സോ മൽപുണ്യഗാഥാശ്രവണാഭിധാനേ തഥാ തഥാ പശ്യതി വസ്തു സൂക്ഷ്മം ചക്ഷുദ്ദിവൈ അഞ്ജന സംപ്രയുക്തം ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ദ വേഴ്സ് വി വർ ഡിസ് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് വേഴ്സ് 26 ഇൻ ദ 14th ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇസ്റ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് വി സോ വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് സിഗ്നിഫൈസ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഉപനിഷത്സ് ആൻഡ് ഉപനിഷത്സ് പെർട്ടിക്കുലർലി ഇൻസിസ്റ്റ്സ് ദാറ്റ് the cause of all our distress is ajnanam ignorance all the distress is coming from ignorance so because ignorance is the cause of distress upanishads are saying to us that the only way to free oneself from distress or from ignorance is to become cultivate knowledge of the soul knowledge of the soul that is the solution in the upanishads spoken about it But when it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has spoken like this, that yadha yadhalpa parimrujyade sau malpunyagada shravana abhidanehi tatha tatha pasyadi vastu sushmam chakshuddivai anjanasam prayuktam. Krishna is saying there that the the purvavaksham means the argument is that Upanishads are saying like this that with the cultivation of knowledge alone one can free oneself from ignorance which makes sense logical isn't it ignorance means there should be knowledge if there is no knowledge ignorance is not going to go what is the Upanishads point of view Krishna is saying here that it may be like that but if one takes care Krishna consciousness seriously that hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, chanting the holy name of Krishna and surrenders to Krishna completely, what will happen is Krishna says yatha yadalpa parimrujyade sau malpunyagada shravana abhidanehi what will happen is tatha tatha pasyati vastu sushmam he'll start seeing vastu sushmam what is that vastu sushmam is the soul from the soul automatically sushma vastu it is Sushma means extremely subtle. Soul is extremely subtle and he is inside there. And at the moment our identification with the body is very strong. We have no way of freeing ourselves from that very easily. So Krishna's point is if you become serious in Krishna consciousness, what will happen is tatha tatha pasyati vastu sushmam. That sushma vastu, extremely subtle thing what is inside, it will start revealing itself from inside. It's revealing itself from inside. We spoke about that last Sunday and said that that when inside gets purified, when chitta shuddhi or purification of one's consciousness or purification of one's existence, when it gets purified, Krishna says here, sushmam vastu pashyandi. You will see that vastu inside which is very sushma. Which is extremely subtle. You will start seeing that vastu. And when the chittam means the subtle body, gets completely pure, what will happen is that the person will turn his attention from the world towards that soul. This is what will happen to the person. Will happen to the person. We discussed this last time. That people will say that I am pure, I am this, I am that. So many claims people will make about their purity. But Shastram says to us that the correct or the proper proof of one's purity is that if his attention is turned towards the soul. Only then you can say, because from a natural way, if one gets purified, his attention will go inward. Attention will go towards the soul. It is a natural thing what has to happen. And so here the Vedregam Anvayam comes. Anvaya Vedregam comes here, which we discussed in the Chatushloki also. And throughout the Bhagavatam, you will find this Anvaya Vedregam comes all the time. Anvayam Vedregam. So what we have to know first thing is, what is this Anvayam, what is Vedregam? In fact, Bhagavatam begins with Janmadhya Sedo Anvaya Idharadas. Anvaya Vedregam begins there itself. So Anvaya Vedregam is like this. To give few examples, if you understand these examples, it's easier to understand the other things. So just like there is fire somewhere happening, there is fire. And from that fire, smoke is coming out. Smoke is coming out. So Anvaya means that if there is fire, the smoke is coming out. And if you observe the smoke, you can conclude, you can conclude that there is fire somewhere. That is where the smoke has come. The smoke has come because there is fire somewhere. That's why the smoke has come out. This is called Anvayam. This is called Anvayam. Now, on the other hand, if you think that, can the fire exist without smoke? Yes, it can. Isn't it? Fire can exist without smoke also. So even if there is no smoke coming from somewhere, if fire can still exist there, that is Vedregam. This is called Anvaya Vedregam. First thing, because the fire is, smoke is coming out, you can take it that the fire is existing somewhere. In other words, fire is the cause, smoke is the effect. So Anvaya Vedregam is very much like cause and effect. Cause and effect. So if there is fire, smoke can come from that. That is Anvayam. Or in other words, if smoke is coming out, you can take it that the fire exists. Fire exists. Now, on the other hand, even if there is no smoke, fire can exist. That's Vedregam. Even if the smoke doesn't come, fire can still exist. That's Vedregam. So, cause and effect. So, this relationship between fire and the smoke, similarly, you can bring it to many other things as well. Just like gold. Gold has its pure gold exist. Gold can be transformed into various jewelry, in different ornaments like bangles and and chain and ring and anklets and so many different things you can make. Jewelry can make out from the gold. Even when the gold is transformed into jewelry, the quality of the gold hasn't changed. It remains. The quality, purity of the gold or the nature, what is the feature of the gold is that it is shining always, isn't it? The shining nature of the gold, it manifests even when it is in the jewelry form, when it's in the jewelry form. Now, although the gold exists and it transforms into jewelry, we have transformed that into jewelry, it exists as jewelry, from there we can understand that the gold exists. Because jewelry is existing, therefore the gold must exist. Now, on the other hand, gold can exist even not becoming jewelry. As gold it is, as it is. Gold can stay in the same pattern, isn't it? Without becoming, turning into jewelry, it can stay, remain as gold. So, initially, when the gold exists and it is transformed into jewelry, that is known as Anvayam. That is known as Anvayam. This is an example only, an example. And similarly, even if jewelry doesn't exist, gold can still exist. That's Vedregam. That is Vedregam. So, jewelry may or may not exist, but gold must exist, isn't it? So, from gold, jewelry comes, and when jewelry exists, we can take it that the gold exists, or that is Anvayam. And if jewelry doesn't exist, but still the gold can exist, that's Vedregam. That's Vedregam. This is another example. Same way, clay exists, pot exists. From the clay, the potter makes the pots. He makes the pots. So, if the pot is existing, you can take it that the clay is existing. But even when the pots are not existing, clay still exists. It can exist. So, first time, when clay is existing and the pots are existing, you can say that relationship is Anvayam. That is anvayam. Because pots are existing, the cause is the clay, the effect is the pots. So that is anvayam. But on the other hand, if there is no pots existing, but still the clay can exist, that's vedirigam. Cause can always exist, effect may or may not exist. This is the relationship. Similarly, talking about the cloth also, the thread exists, but that is, originally the thread exists, and the thread, after weaving that, it becomes turns into cloth. So the cloth will exist, it means the thread is existing. You make dhotis or saris or whatever from the thread. But even if the cloth doesn't exist, but still the thread can exist, that is vedirigam. So anvayam is cloth exists, and from the cloth the thread exists, and from that the cloth comes. So that is anvayam. That relationship is anvayam. Vedirigam is that cloth is thread is existing, cloth may not exist, but still thread will exist. That's vedirigam. So anvayam vedirigam is that relationship. Why we are saying all these examples are used in the Shastram is that what we have to know is that this whole creation has come from Krishna, Brahman. Brahman is the basis, isn't it? Adhishtanam is Brahman. So Brahman, everything has come. Everything has come from Brahman. Just because this world is existing from that, we have to conclude that behind that there is a reality, which is Brahman. Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita calls it as Brahman. Brahmanohi pratishtaham, Krishna says, isn't it? Aham sarvasya prabho matta sarvam pravartade idimuthya bhajanema buddha bhava samanyuga. So many verses in the Bhagavad Gita you will see referring to Brahman as the source. Brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavandi shabdade. So Brahman exists, and from Brahman creation has come. So because creation is existing, we have to take it there is a source for the creation, which is Brahman. And that relationship is anvayam. That relationship is anvayam. On the other hand, even if the creation doesn't exist, because creations, how real the creation is a question, isn't it? We can say that creation exists temporarily. It doesn't exist as a permanent reality. So it is not an absolute thing, creation is. Creation is a temporary reality. It exists temporarily, then it disappears or changes. All the time it's changing. So whether the creation exists or not, the source of creation does exist all the time. Brahman always exists. That's vedirigam. Just like the examples. So anvaya vedirigam is an important thing in the Bhagavadam. In so many instances you will see when the great personalities, great devotees, when they speak, in several instances you will see, you will have to understand through anvaya vedirigam. That's the process of understanding that, cause and effect. That is why anvaya vedirigam is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavadam. So, in the beginning of the Bhagavadam itself, there mentions that soul exists in everything in creation, but the features of the creation does not exist in the soul. This is what we have to know. The soul exists in everything in creation. Soul exists. Soul's presence is there. Only because of the presence of the soul, we are seeing its existence, its reality, we are experiencing it. We say, it's like this mic is existing, table is existing, the walls are existing. Why it exists? We feel the existence of it, isn't it? The existence we are experiencing, that existence aspect of the soul is present in them. That is why we feel that, experience the existence of it. So, soul exists in everything in creation, but the features of the creation does not exist in the soul. Does not mean that, because everything what you see in the creation is namarupam. Different names, different forms. That's all. The Brahman has taken different shapes. In different names, different forms. We are all namarupam only, nothing else. If you look at each one of us, we have a particular form and we have a particular name. That is how we identify ourselves with, isn't it? Namarupam is a manifestation of the Brahman in a temporary state. In a temporary state. It's not a permanent situation. It's a temporary existence. So namarupam is and the origin source Brahman. That is, that relationship is anvayam. But namarupam will go tomorrow. Namarupam will disappear from here. But the source still remains. That is vedirigam. Source still remains. That is vedirigam. So namarupam, even without the effect, cause can exist. Cause can
exist. So that is the Vedrigam principle. So we are discussing this on last Sunday also, that we mentioned that. So we mentioned there that Chitta Shuddhi, that means purification of one's consciousness, is important only after that the knowledge of the soul will manifest in a person. Before that it won't happen. So this argument that once the purification has happened, then naturally, without any external input or without any external pressure, in a natural way, his attention will turn towards the soul. That is the important thing. In a natural way, his attention will turn towards the soul. So when somebody says that somebody so-and-so is pure, or somebody is is purified consciousness, if the way to understand that is that if he has attention towards, if his attention has turned towards the soul, then he will have naturally a taste for self-realization without anyone telling him. Naturally, his attention will turn towards self-realization. Sridhara Swaji Swami says, Na anya bandha vidyade ayanaya alma chittam parimirjyade pradhagityarthaha. Pradhagityarthaha. He says that is the meaning of that. There's nothing more to be spoken about, he says. Nothing more to be spoken about. This knowledge, which in other words, what causes purification of one's existence? That's bhakti. That is bhakti. Bhakti is what which purifies one's consciousness. So in bhakti, jnanam is inside. That's why as a secondary step after bhakti, jnanam comes to the person. Natural way it happens. If bhakti has developed strongly in a person, in a person's heart, when all the impurities are gone away from him and he is completely pure, the next thing what will happen to him, his attention will become so inward looking that he will be very much attracted by the beauty of the soul, by the beauty of the soul. So instead of worrying about the soul a lot at the moment, first thing our concern should be how to develop bhakti. Because bhakti is the one that changes everything. When purification of one's existence, Krishna says, that's what Krishna is saying here. Yadha yadalpa parimrajyade sau. Krishna says, Yadha yadalpa parimrajyade sau malpunya gadha shravana abhidhanehi. That when Krishna's glories, when you hear about Krishna from Bhagavadam, that is that malpunya gadha shravana abhidhanehi means. When we hear about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen? Yadha yadhalpa parimarjyade sau. Parimarjana means cleaning up. Bhagavata katha or Bhagavata shravanam or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what it does is it starts cleaning up inside. It cleans up so well. Tatha tatha pashyati vastu sushmam. Vastu sushmam, that sushma vastu, soul inside, will be start, you'll start seeing him from inside. You'll start seeing from inside. This is statement from Krishna, so you can't question that. It is a reality. That is Krishna's words, and there's nothing you can say about that. Till we experience that, we have to continue the process. There is no alternative to that. That's why he says, Yadha yadalpa parimrujyade sau malpunya gadha shravana abhidhanehi tadha tadha pashyadi vastu sushmam. When that happens, he will start seeing that vastu, vastu inside, sushma vastu, extremely subtle, he will start recognizing, yes, he is there, he is there. Up to this point, we have no idea whether he exists or not. We still have only the theoretical understanding of the presence of the soul. What Krishna is saying here is that if you develop Krishna consciousness to that level, and parimrujyade, so parimarjana means, as soon as Krishna says, as soon as you start hearing Srimad Bhagavatam properly, if proper shravanam happens, first thing what happens is Krishna comes in and he himself starts cleaning up inside. That is, he says, I want to stay inside and wants to observe what is happening, because it's spoken about him who is present inside. Bhagavatam talks about Krishna. So by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam means Krishna starts the cleaning up process inside. That is the end result of that. Straight away start the cleaning up process. That's why constantly people hear Srimad Bhagavatam for this purpose. Not that they understand everything what the sage Sudeva Goswami has spoken. It is not possible to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said this, isn't it? He said, Bhagavatam is Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam, he says. Only through Bhakti you will understand Bhagavatam. So, Bhaktya Bhagavatam, na Vilpatya, na Tigaya, not by commentary or by your knowledge of the Sanskrit. No, you will not understand Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is understood, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam. Bhagavatam is understood by Bhakti. By Bhakti. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement is like that on Srimad Bhagavatam. And all the great personalities who studied Srimad Bhagavatam, they all agree on this aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. That understanding of Bhagavatam is not the important thing. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Shravanam, is more important. When you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen is, Yadha yadalpa paramarjade sau malpunya gadha shravana abhidhanehi. Krishna starts the cleaning up process inside. Tadha tadha pashyati vastu sushmam. That sushma vastu inside, which we are looking for, that subtle thing, extremely subtle thing, the soul inside. Tadha tadha pashyati vastu sushmam. We will start recognizing his presence inside by some signals that comes from inside. Chakshuddhivai anjana samprayuktam. Just like when one has got cataract. We have got cataract at the moment, but not in the eyes, all over. So that has to be removed. When that is removed, when the cataract is taken out of the eye, the person, when he gets cured, he comes out and he looks at the world and he sees everything with a lot of clarity. Everything seems to him proper, real. Prior to that, everything was a, there was a, he could not see things properly, could he? Because of the presence of the cataract. Just like cataract to the eye, similarly, the mind, the consciousness is impure at the moment. And that purification process is bhakti. That process is bhakti. So, there, as bhakti advances, one advances in bhakti, Krishna says, jnanam will automatically comes to that person without any effort. If one reaches very highest standard of bhakti, knowledge is available without any effort anymore. So what actually prevents us from realizing the truth is the impurity, impure consciousness inside. So that is why it is said like that. So talking, hearing about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name and continuously absorbing in the Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's instructions. In Bhagavatam you will see three things. One, katha. Katha means the pastimes spoken by Vedavyas and Sudeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna's different activities. That is katha. Then there is glorification by great devotees, isn't it? So many great glorifications are there in the Bhagavatam. Kundi's glorification, Bhishma's glorification, and similarly you have the glorifications from Akrura's glorification, Mujgunda's glorification, and Gajendra's glorification, Rukmini's glorification. So many glorifications you will find now and then in the Bhagavatam. That is another step after katha. Katha is the first step. We hear katha. From katha, our inquisitiveness develops further to understand why they glorified in that particular way. All the glorifications are different. Akrura's glorification is different from Mujgunda. Mujgunda's glorification is different from Kundidevi's glorification. Uttaradevi's glorification is different. So they've all glorified. Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a lot of glorifications of great, great devotees. They are glorifying Krishna. Devaki's glorification, Vasudeva's glorification, the Bhagavatam and Krishna appeared. They are all important. But one can move on to these glorifications after one has heard sufficiently katha, the pastimes of Krishna. All the different 10, 11 cantos, we have to first understand all the important pastimes of Krishna, different incarnations and those pastimes as well, apart from the main Krishna's canto, which is the 10th canto, and Krishna's pastimes. Once we have understood all the pastimes, means we have anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means followed them, heard them well, and we have developed some taste for the pastimes. Then we move on to the next step, what is known as stuti, the glorifications there in the Bhagavatam. After that, once we start analyzing each and every glorification, you will start a relationship with these devotees in the Bhagavatam. You will feel a relationship. Depends on, according to our vasana and according to our taste, we will find some devotees more attractive than others. That is purely a personal thing, that you can't say that some devotees are attracted to the gopis' devotion and some devotees are attracted to Prahlada's devotion. Some devotees will be attracted to Bhishma's devotion. Someone else will be attracted to Kunti Devi's devotion. That is a personal choice. It doesn't matter. They all will take you back to the goal at the end. There is no doubt about that. But then why so many glorifications? Vedavyasa Maharshi knows very well the human nature is like that. Bhinna Ruchirhi Loka. The world is always full of different tastes. Everyone has a different taste. Everyone has a choice there. Someone like Yudhishthira Maharaj was attracted to Prahlada. Yudhishthira Maharaj was not attracted to others. He was more attracted to Prahlada. And there are many personalities who are attracted to Bhishma. Bhishma Stuti is very favorable for them. And many others to Kunti Devi. So there is no hard and fast rule that only gopis will take you back to Krishna. That is a misunderstanding. If that's the case, only gopi story should have been spoken. There was no need to talk about others, isn't it? It's not like that. But some people are attracted to gopis' devotion, bhakti. So bhakti, depending on the devotee, naturally their glorification process also will change. So when we study the glorifications, stuti, in the Bhagavatam, from different devotees, we have a different attraction for different devotees also in the same way. And that will completely depend on the individual who is studying the glorifications. After that glorifications, then comes the next thing. What is that? Instructions. Instructions from Krishna to Uddhava, for example. Similarly, instructions from Kumaras, four Kumaras to Prithu. These are instructions. Why instructions? Instruction is on a much higher level. You have gone to a much higher level at that stage. When you come to the stage of instruction, it is coming from the absolute truth. It is spoken in a way that you can't discuss it very much, only you have to realize that. That's all it is. That instruction, what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is for realization. So that realized knowledge is what is present in the instructions, or Upadesham it is called. Like, Sukadeva Goswami finally gives instruction to Parikshit, isn't it? It is called Brahmavadesham. Brahmavadesham, who he is spoken in a few verses and finished there. So when you read those verses, it is not for trying to understand that, it is for realization. That Brahmavadesham is for realization. You can look at it and think about it, but nothing will happen. You have, after going through the katha, after going through the stuti, and we come to the stage of upadesham or brahmavadesham state, it is simply realization, nothing more than realization. So realization comes as the last step in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam. This is that process. So all this is in the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says in a very simple way, maschittam algada prana bhodayanda parasparam kathayandaschamam nitya tushyandi jaramandija. In the if you look into the 10th chapter, you will see maschittam algada prana bhodayanda parasparam. Devotees, Krishna says, they have only one business in this world. Maschittam algada prana, always thinking, absorb the consciousness in Krishna. And they are Malgada Prana. Malgada Prana means they have surrendered their life to me. Nothing else they have in this world. Maschitta, Malgada Prana, and what else? Bodhayanda Parasparam. They mutually discuss about me, and they convey their realizations to each other. They convey their realizations. Bodhayanda Parasparam, Kathayandaschamam Nitya, Tushyandi Jaramandijam. Kathayandaschamam Nitya, they have only one subject to talk about, that's about Krishna. Kathayandaschamam Nityam, Tushyandi Jaramandijam. And while they are discussing about Krishna, they get extraordinary happiness and bliss from that. Tushyandi Jaramandijam. That is the experience of the devotees. So that is there in the Bhagavad Gita, referring to Srimad Bhagavatam in a particular way. That is what is called Salsangam. So, when we hear Bhagavad Katha, it is not possible to finish Srimad Bhagavatam. It is a lifelong thing, Srimad Bhagavatam. If you keep on reading Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you will get pulled by the knowledge, by the renunciation, and by the devotion of Bhagavatam. By the devotion of Bhagavatam. So, why should we hear? This is the question, isn't it? If you don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen? We will hear about everything else in this world. Everything else in this world. So, which is Vishayam, isn't it? That is Vishayam. If we discuss any other topic except Krishna in this world, it is considered to be Asat. It is considered to be Asat. Naturally, as you know, that suppose a couple of people meet each other, clubs and societies and things like that. What is the discussion there? Discussion is about this world. What happens in this world? Either they will talk about each other or they will talk about somebody else. Isn't it? So, in all these situations, what will happen is, what is known in the Shastram as Tripudi. Tripudi will work. Tripudi means, I exist, somebody else exists, and someone else exists. I exist, he exists, and someone else exists. These three things. Me, you, and some he. Me, you, and he. These three things are called Tripudi. As long as we are in the cap, we are caught up in Tripudi, it is not possible to realize the self. To realize the self. That is the conclusion of the Shastra. Tripudi exists as long as we are discussing the material world. Any topic in relationship with the material world, if we discuss, that means Tripudi. Tripudi exists. So Tripudi, and that means what will happen? Our consciousness will get more impure. More impure. So, therefore, they are insisting that in bhakti process, hearing is such an important thing. And if one can fill 24 hours with Srimad Bhagavatam, then there is no possibility of other things entering inside and making it further bad or impure inside. So that's why it says, Kathayandaha, first to speak, Shrunvandaha, and then to hear. Smarandaha, after that to remember what you have heard. Then Chindayandaha, think about that, remember that, and then start thinking about that. That Anusandhanam Kuruvandaha, then pursue that Anusandhanam, and in the mind. If you keep on doing that, this Tyagam Vairagyam, these two things, Tyagam means sacrificing nature, and Vairagyam means renunciation, and will come. And in order that happen, we must have some principles in life. Some principles in life. That means some understanding that certain morals and following up with the certain principles. And what will happen if this is done little by little, that false ego inside, and that way we have to bring that false ego's rise, we should cut it down. False ego exists all the time, isn't it? False ego, remember we discussed it before, it exists in two levels. One in the gross level. Vedantam is not talking about that gross false ego. That under all circumstances one has to give it up. No question about that. What is the gross false ego? Gross false ego is that we are thinking in terms of what we call in English as the pride, isn't it? He's proud of so many things. I'm a rich man, I'm famous, I'm this, I'm that. Or an identification falsely with the body and thinking oneself to be very important in this world. As Krishna calls it, is amanitam. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's called amanitam. Amanitam means I am superhuman. I am not an ordinary conditioned soul. I am someone very important in this world. So that is one kind of pride. That pride is not what, that is not the ahankaram false ego Krishna is talking about here. In the Bhagavadam, when we say ahankaram, which everybody has in this world, is our vyaktibhodam, our individuality, thinking that I am. This I am consciousness, based on jiva, conditioned nature, is the false identity of the jiva, jiva's false identity. What is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam comes in the form of ahankaram, in the form of false ego. And therefore, Krishna says, first that should go. That conditioned state, in the personality level, personality is not something that is very favorable for that. Therefore, personality development and all is very much condemned in the Shastram. There is no question of personality development. Personality itself is false ego. Personality itself is false ego. That is why this personality has come. So when the personality goes away, that false ego also goes away. So existence of that personality itself is considered to be the wrong way to do. So anyway, That's why Krishna says here, Yadhayatma Parimarjade So Malpunyagatha. So what is actually happening is that purification of that subtle body, chittam, or which is major component of that is this ahangaram or false ego, that has to be purified. And snanam manomala tyagaha. Snanam means bathing, or there are different kinds of bathing. And snanam, purification inside, manomala. Manomala means the impurities inside the mind, giving up that. That is manomala tyagaha is snanam. So cleaning up inside the mind, that is that is what is done in the salsangam. That is one in the salsangam. Bhagaval kathana sandhanam. So easiest process, what Krishna says for that is salsangam. Oh, great personalities association, and in their association, little by little, our chittam will get purified. Chittam, purity will happen. Purity will happen. When we go and see great mahatmas who are realized souls or who are very advanced devotees, in their association, naturally our pride, our ego, all we lose that at that time. We lose at that time. So, and it is at that time Krishna says, as much as it gets purified, that vastu sushmam, vastu pashyadi, sushma vastu pashyadi, you will start seeing that little, just like a lightning, it will come like a spark from inside of the presence of the soul. We'll start experiencing that I am not this body. That feeling will develop from within. From within it will develop. And when that starts developing inside, you can say that Krishna's mercy is coming. Only then you can say that Krishna's mercy is coming. When that kripa, Krishna's mercy is flowing, at that time, in a very, very short time, for a very short time, you will start experiencing that reality inside of the soul, and the soul's presence you will start recognizing from within, without anybody telling you, when inside gets purified. When inside gets purified, Krishna says it will happen. So if it has not happened, only thing we have to conclude is that inside is not very pure. Inside is not pure. There is a lot of garbage inside still for clearing up. So that is why bhakti is given this important position because of that. So we have received Krishna's mercy at that point. When that from inside, that realization starts coming. So what does that mean? Atma anubhavam, experience of the soul. There are different terminologies used in the Bhagavatam for that. Experience of the soul, atma anubhavam, it is called. Another word used is Surubha Spurthi. Surubha means my pure identity, it starts manifesting. That is called Surubha Spurthi. Surubha Spurthi has happened. Surubha Spurthi Lakshanaha Bhagavad Anugraha Hridi Sanjadaha. That is how it is spoken. Sri Swami says like that. Surubha Spurthi Lakshanaha. The symptom of that is Surubha Spurthi. Surubham has come, started manifesting. Surubha Spurthi Lakshanaha Bhagavad Anubhuti Sanjadaha. Bhagavad Anubhuti, experience of Krishna has started happening inside. Sanjadaha, it's born. Surubha Spurthi Lakshanaha Bhagavad Anugraha. Surubha Spurthi means you started realizing who you are. Not on a permanent basis, temporarily you got a sudden feeling that I am not this body. That realization has come. And from inside who you are, that experience started happening. For a very split second, like a lightning, it will come and go. Like a lightning, it will come and go. It won't stay. It will come and it will go. But that lightning is sufficient, because once that lightning happens, you can take it that Krishna's mercy has started coming. And that will give you a lot more. That, why does it happen in that way is, Krishna expects you to do more purification further. So in order to give you some encouragement at that time, Krishna gives this a sudden spark, a sudden lightning-like experience inside of the soul. When that experience comes, you can start experience thinking that Krishna's mercy is flowing. So, once a jiva, a conditioned soul, once he gets that, you can take it that he has got the key for entering to liberation, to the state of liberation. He has got the key for entering into the state of liberation. The state of liberation. So, So initially he experienced in a very short period, for a very, very short time. But that is sufficient. But that is sufficient. Because sushmam vastu pashyati, he is seeing that very sushma vastu inside. And what is the most extremely subtle thing? What is that? What is the most subtle thing in this world? It's the soul. Soul is the most subtle thing in this world. We may say so many things that subtle, 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 but nothing is more subtle than the soul. That is why in Upanishads it says that the statement about the soul is that the Upanishads are saying that the anoraniyam hato mahiyam. If you look, you will see there. Anoraniyam hato mahiyam almasya jandor nihidam guhayam tamakradu pashyati vita shoko dhadu prasadan mahimanam almanam. Dhadu prasadan mahimanam almanam. He says, it is subtle than the most subtle thing is the soul. Anoraniyam mahato mahiyam. And at the same time, that soul is bigger than anything else in this world. You will see statements in Upanishads like that. It is, sometimes we wonder why this kind of description in the Upanishads. But people who have read Upanishads and who have followed the process of Upanishads knowledge, they will eventually come to terms with, they'll start understanding there is no other way of describing the soul. There is no other way of describing the soul. For example, I'll tell you where the difference comes between Upanishads and Bhagavatam. In Upanishads, all the statements are like this. Anoraniyam mahato mahiyam. It says, anoraniyam mahato mahiyam alpasya jando nihidam guhayam. That anoraniyam mahato mahiyam, that soul inside, he is consciousness, he is not matter. You have to remember that. He is not matter, he is consciousness. So he can enter into the cave inside of the heart. Heart means not this mechanical heart which the doctors talk about. There is another cave on the right hand side where his presence is established. Yogis all talk about that. Mahado mahiyam. So he enters there and he can remain there he can hide in that cave inside. That's why it says, Alpasya jandor nihidam guhayam. Very confidentially he can live in every living entity. He can be present there. Alpasya jandor nihidam guhayam tamakradu pashyati vidashoho. That, and while he is present there, in our conditioned state, we will experience all the hankering, lamentation, and everything. But he, when he is present there, he is not affected by any of that. He is not affected by any of that. Because he has no desires inside. And at the same time, unaffected by everything, through the mind and the senses, he sees the glories of the soul. He knows the glories of the soul. So mind, intelligence and senses, everything, it will give up their activities and it starts looking inwards. Mind, senses, intelligence and everything, it will stop its activities in this world and will start going inward looking. And that is called Dhadu Prasadam. It says in the Upanishad, Tamakradu Pashyati Vidashoho Dhadu Prasadan Mahima Anama Alpana. This is a Kathopanishad verse. Upanishad is saying that Anoraniyam Mahado Mahiyam. He is smaller than the smallest and he is bigger than the biggest. Only he is pervading all over the creation. Therefore, he is the biggest in all over. And at the same time, he is the most subtle thing, unable to identify him, and he is present inside that cave, inside of every living entity. So he is anoraniyam hado mahiyam. What else? Alpasya jandor nihidam guhayam. That in every living entity, in every jandu, he is present as the soul inside, in all the caves, inside everyone. And then, tamakradu pashyati vidashoko. That when he started getting this lightning spark from inside, when that happens, what will happen to him is, pashyati vidashoko. That he will give up his attachment and lamentation and everything to this world. He will give up completely, all that. And then what will happen? Dhadu prasadan mahimanam almana. That he will go inward looking and trying to find out that source from where that lightning has come. He will start looking for the source of everything. That is, spiritual inquiries begins at that stage in that one. Now, all the statements in the Bhagavadam, in the Upanishads are like this. Smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. So when you hear that, you will start thinking, what is that? Because our conditioned mind will only understand that. Now, when it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam, all the Upanishads knowledge has brought to us, Vedavyasa Maharshi gave us through Srimad Bhagavatam to us. Now, in Bhagavatam, what you will find is, all these important statements, like the Upanishad statements, which exist in the Bhagavatam, along with that, so many silly stories also. It may appear silly to us. It's spoken in a very silly way, just like you will see that so many things they will, important things they will discuss, and then they will say along with that he had so many wives. Kamsa had two wives. One of the name was Asti, other one was called Prapti. And if you look at their names, you start wondering what kind of names are this, Asti and Prapti. Asti means something what I have got, that's existing already. Prapti means I have to achieve something tomorrow. That's what the name means actually. Asti and Prapti means that. Asti means I got something today. Prapti means I have to acquire something tomorrow. That is Prapti. And they are the daughters of Jarasandha. Jarasandha's daughters they were. Kamsa's wives, isn't it? So all these kind of names in the Bhagavatam. Then there is all this story like Puranjana Vakhyanam, Puranjana story. And when you read that story, you will start thinking, what's all these kind of things? So some people who have done some research into Bhagavatam, some people who are interested, they started thinking, these people who have written Srimad Bhagavatam, were they under the effect of drugs that they have written Bhagavatam? This question came up. You can't blame them for that, because in Bhagavatam, in some places, things are spoken of a very higher level. Very higher level things are spoken in the Bhagavatam. And they also understand, these scholars who are researching, they also understand that it is spoken, the highest truth is revealed in the Bhagavatam in the highest level. In the highest level it is spoken, which means in the Upanishad statements it's spoken. Along with that, so many stories in the Bhagavatam also will make you start wondering that this person who has written Srimad Bhagavatam, is he really under the effect of some powerful drugs? Because some of the things makes no sense at all. Makes no sense at all. Just like we have read many times, isn't it? Chitraketu had 10 million wives. Along with the Upanishad's truth, it's spoken there. Chitraketu had 10 million wives. Ugrasena had 4 billion servants. And similarly, so many things like that. You will find a lot of statements now and then like this. If you start taking all this as absolute and start studying Bhagavatam, your research will end up in a disaster. You won't get anywhere with that research, isn't it? So, because it is like that, there is a deliberately they have done that. The sages have done that deliberately. We will discuss that later, because when you understand that, you will see how intelligent they were, more intelligent than any of us. We are conditioned, isn't it? What does this conditioning means? We must understand this, what this conditioning means. Conditioning means that something in the brain has developed in our head and we have accepted that everything has to work in a particular order, in a logic. That's what we call a yukti. Yukti is the word for that, isn't it? Yukti or logic. And this logic is a madness actually, if you really think about that. If you start applying logic to everything and if it doesn't happen according to our vision or our understanding, we say it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So, to understand Bhagavatam, first thing, we have to come out of this thing called a logic. Why? In bhakti process, so many things happen. You can't apply logic there. Logic has no place in that. Because logic, you can only apply in certain things in this world in relationship with matter. You can apply logic. When you go to the spiritual side of life or spiritual world, applying logic doesn't work there. So, that is where the problem is. We have developed this logic nature in us so strongly that in Upanishads and Yanis, they have got very good arguments about it. It's not that they're just saying something to us to convince us that your logic is... No, they're trying to tell us your conditioning is that, this logic business. For example, I'll give you another story. A child, a small child, 3-4 years old, he wants to hear a story every night from the mother. Mother has to read some storybook to him. Only if he hears the story, he will fall asleep. He will get sleep at night. So, that child, he lies down in the bed and mother starts reading some storybook to him or to the little one. And he keeps listening and he will fall asleep and he is enjoying the story. He will fall asleep and he'll go to sleep. Mother stops reading the story. Isn't it? This is quite normal. A mother is reading, telling a story to the child. She didn't have any storybook, so she has to tell a story. So she is creating a story and telling the child. What the story is, there was a barren woman who had 4 children. It starts the story like this. Child has not asked any question yet. Our logic, what will it say? How can a barren woman have children? The story is finished there, isn't it? But for the child, story is not over. Then the next thing, what he says is that the 4 children were not born. One child entered the womb. One child was planning to take the birth. One child did not think of coming out of the womb and one came out. The child is enjoying the story. Child is still listening. After that, they went into a big desert, huge desert they went into. They went into that desert and they were traveling in that desert. And all through the desert, they were huge trees and vegetation everywhere in the desert. Child is still saying yes. Child is enjoying the story. He is only interested in the story. He is not interested in your logic. He is interested in the story. He wants the story should continue so that he can enjoy it. That's all. He's not applying his logic there. That's the difference I'm saying. He's not putting his logic. Whereas what we will do first thing, we'll apply the logic straight away and says it's all bogus. So, this what causes is, and let me come to that. When you keep on saying a story, so they traveled in the desert a long distance. After they traveled a long distance, they saw the trees and the flowers everywhere in the desert. And then suddenly they saw a lake in the desert. And they went there, picked up the water and started drinking. By then the child has fallen asleep and gone. The story is over there. Now, the child is enjoying and feeling happiness by hearing the story. We apply our logic and don't make any sense to us. Vedavyasa Maharshi is asking us, he is standing away from both of us, from us as well as the child, and asking us one question. Is that happiness of the child is real or your logic is real? Which is real, he is asking. It's a very valid question. In reality, the child experienced happiness. You have been scratching your head still with your logic. Logic has no entrance in spiritual life. Logic has no value there. It is this logic that is preventing us from realizing the self. That also we must know. It is only this logic mind what we have cultivated in several lifetimes, in several ways, and convinced ourselves that this is the only way it can happen. And it is this logic that is standing in between us and the spirit soul and the realization of the soul. Because conditioned mind, conditioned thinking, conditioning is this, that only if it makes sense to our mind and intelligence we can accept it. Just like Vedavyasa Maharshi's question is, what is real here? As far as Vedavyasa is concerned, that child's happiness is real, not your logic is real. Logic is all false. That logic has no value. As far as it may apply to you, make sense to you in your bodily understanding. Once you move on to the spiritual, the child is listening in the proper way, not us. Child is listening and not applying his mind or intelligence, simply experiencing the happiness. The soul is like that. Soul is like that. When we have completely given up all our logic and reasoning, immediately what will happen? We will surrender. It's only because the logic and reasoning we are unable to surrender to Krishna. Isn't it? We can't surrender to Krishna because logic tells us that we should not surrender. reasoning is telling us don't surrender. So long as this logic and reasoning is there, it is impossible to surrender to Krishna. So when the logic reasoning leaves us, automatically without any external input, you will surrender to Krishna. That is Vedavyasa Maharshi's conclusion, and that is the example given in the Upanishads like this. That story of the child is only to tell us that nothing is logical there. Everything is illogical as far as we are concerned. But as far as self-realization is concerned, it is perfect. That story is perfect. Because that is how the system works. So, anoraniyam mahato. In Upanishads, you will not find such statements. Whereas in Bhagavatam, you will find plenty like that. That is where that difference between Bhagavatam and Upanishads is. So, while studying Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice here that the anoraniyam mahato mahiyam, when the consciousness is purified, dadu prasadam means all our body is completely pure, mind, consciousness, everything is very pure, and when we receive that mercy from Krishna, so at that point he will start seeing anoraniyam, that minute, extremely subtle and minute thing inside, and that is that my swarupam, my nature, who I am and who am I, that thing, that, and that will become a reality, and that will become a reality. And at that point, in an amazing way, what will happen to him is that he will hear Brahmavidya, knowledge of the Brahman. Brahmavidya will happen to him. And he will see himself within that. And little by little, and step by step, the mind which has gone to the world outside will go inward looking. The mind will stop all its work in this world and will start inside looking for that truth and absorption in that, complete absorption in that. So, Eknath Swami, who wrote a famous commentary, Maharashtrian saint, who wrote a famous commentary on Ekadashi Skandam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, his statement on that is that as much as inside is getting purified, what will happen is that adhyalpam, in spiritual matters, his taste will increase and he will get more absorbed in Brahmavidya subjects. And this is the symptom, he says, of the purification that is happening. So how do you know that inside is purified? You will know that when you have a natural taste for hearing about Krishna. Particularly in Brahmavidya, and also in Tattvacharam, in realizing, in analyzing the truth, Tattvacharam. Bhagavatam says that, isn't it, in the beginning? Vadannida tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabjade. Tattvajnanam, isn't it? Tattvajnanam will develop inside a person at that time. So, just like at the moment, and our desire and interest will all be centered around our own, who I am. This question will become very strong inside, who am I? Who am I will become extremely powerful inside, and that inquiry will become very strong inside. This is what will happen. This is the proof that we are getting purified. And when that happens, you can take it, Krishna's mercy is coming. You don't need any other proof after that. Nowadays, we take it, Krishna's mercy is coming when we win a lottery or when we get something materially, isn't it? That's how we take it, Krishna's mercy is coming. But all the Shastram is telling us, Krishna's mercy is coming. The proof of that is when, first thing, our attention turns away from the world inwardly. When the attention goes inside, suddenly a spark from inside makes us realize that we are not this body, and a lightning experience of our identification with the soul happens. When that happens, automatically the mind withdraws from the world outside and takes total interest in the inquiry of who I am. Athado Brahma Jitnyasa begins at that stage. Brahma Jitnyasa comes strongly inside. And a person who has got Brahma Jitnyasa, when that inquisitiveness inside, at no stage he'll be able to go back. Once we get that, the slightest taste of that realization of the soul, it will continue further. It can never go back again from that.
So, at the moment, we have jijnyasa. What's our jijnyasa? At the moment it is there water in the moon planet? Or, if there is there a way we can get to the Mars planet? And, or other things, we will start thinking, what is under the deep level in the sea? What's lying there? We want to find out what's happening there. Or what's happening in the top of the Everest Hill, Everest Mountain? What's happening? How cold it is there? Can we put our flag there and establish ourselves there? This is our mind at the moment. All this is the things what interests us at the moment. So, this jijnyasa, this is also jijnyasa. All this is jijnyasa only. That to find out what's happening in the moon, what's happening in the Mars. But when all these jijnyasa or inquisitiveness turns towards finding out who I am, or inquisitiveness develops inside, then that is Brahma jijnyasa. That is Brahma jijnyasa. Actually, why Bhagavatam was spoken in this particular pattern? We saw that when we discussed Chalashlokhi Bhagavatam. That first thing from Krishna's navel, the lotus flower came out. And Brahma sat there in the lotus flower. Sitting in the lotus flower, he started wondering, who am I? So this question, who am I, is the first question that has come up in this creation. In the whole creation, the first question that was asked is, who am I? And unfortunately, that question is not coming to us. We are not having that question. That's the only question we don't have in this world, is it not? Think about that, how such a wonderful, amazing thing, this human body. And in this body, there is someone inside who is controlling everything, and day after day, through that experience, what we experience in this world, there is a source there. Instead of inquiring about that source, we are inquiring about the moon, inquiring about the Mars, inquiring about the universe, but not inquiring about who I am. Krishna says, this is the most amazing thing in this world, not inquiring about yourself. Whereas, Brahma, when he sat in that lotus flower, he looked all around, he couldn't see anything. But he did not try, Brahma didn't start research straight away, looking into the creation and seeing what's all there. No. The first question he asked was, who I am. Look at that, Brahma's, this is the difference between Brahma and us. Brahma had the intelligence to ask the first question, who I am, who is looking at all these things. From four different directions, in four directions he looked, isn't it? And he couldn't see anything. He couldn't see anything. And he thought about it and thought about it. And first thing he came up to his own mind was, instead of looking outside, who is the person looking? This thought came to him. That is a more important thing than what you are looking at. What you are seeing is not important. That's always changing. But who is the person looking? That is more important. And that is why Brahma has been given this name. What is? Ka esha yoso aham abja prishtaha. There is a verse in the third canto. You can see that. Ka esha yoso abja prishtaha. Me, ka esha. Who am I? Yoso abja prishtaha. Who is sitting in this lotus flower? Brahma is asking, who am I? This person who is sitting in the lotus flower. Who is sitting in the lotus flower? Kai esha yoso aham abjaprishtaha. That verse begins like this. Kai esha, who am I? Yoso abjaprishtaha. Who is sitting in this, who is sitting in the lotus flower. That's what it means. Kai esha yoso abjaprishtaha. He says like that. And it was at that time Krishna spoke the four verses, Chalashlokhi, to him. And Brahma revealed the knowledge. Tene Brahma Hridayam. From Krishna, the knowledge came to Brahma's heart of the Vedic knowledge transmitted in that way. So the first note, important thing to note is that Brahma, the first question he asked was, he had this Brahma Jijnyasa straight away, as soon as he was born. So first thing he wanted to know was about himself, who I am. That's the first thing he has inquired. And Krishna is saying there, if that jijnyasa has come to a person, very quickly Krishna's mercy will follow. Krishna's mercy will follow. At the moment, because we don't have that jijnyasa inside, still our jijnyasa is very much whether what's going on in this world. What is going on in this world? Whether Osama bin Laden is killed or not killed, and all these are issues for us now. We are worried about that now. Whether he is killed or not killed doesn't make any difference to us. But maybe they have their own reasons and logic behind it. But for a person who is inquiring about himself, if he gives importance to all these topics in this world, Krishna's point is, it is very difficult for that mind to inquire about Brahman, about the truth. Brahma-jitnyasa won't happen in that person. Kayesha yoso aham abjaprashtaha. Brahma asks that question, first thing, who I am, who I am. So Krishna feels that this particular inquiry coming from a person is only possible in the human body. It's only possible in the human body because we have all the necessary equipment in this structured body, what we have. That is why, if you remember, Brahmava Loka Dishanam Upamava Deva. Brahma created so many living entities. And after creating all the living entities, Brahma was not happy. He wasn't happy about them because each one of them had difficulty, different problems. And Brahma thought none of them are good enough. Eventually, when he created the human body, he felt extreme happiness. If you remember that verse, we discussed that before. That Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamava Devaha. There is a verse earlier, we talked about that. Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamava Devaha. That he noticed one thing, that this human body has a capacity to inquire about the truth. To inquire about the truth. So Brahma felt happy after Srishtva Purani Ajay Atma Shaktiya. He says, Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajay Atma Shaktiya. That all different kinds of living entities he has created and he never felt happy from that. But when he created the human being, he felt happy. He felt happy. Because in the human body, the specific capacity to inquire is there. Now, because the human body has got that capacity to inquire, therefore we are called Manushya. That is why we are called Manushya. Manushya is not because we have got two hands, two legs, and two eyes, and two ears. No, that's not why we are called human body. Human body is called, it has got this capacity to ask this question, who I am. Therefore, it is given this word Manushya, one who can ask that question. So, Krishna says here that very quickly, when the purification happens, that he will turn his, up to that point, all his jijnyasa will be in the outside world. So once this jijnyasa for the soul happens inside, and he starts slowly recognizing that his real identity is that chitsarubam, or which is separate from the body, but it is coming from that chit shakti inside, and that sarubam or his nature, that clarity or clear vision will start developing inside. And that is what Krishna has spoken here. That as you see a big treasure lying underneath the ground, which you cannot see, but a person who has that capacity, who can do the treasure hunting and find out what treasure is inside, that person will immediately locate the treasure and tell you that there is treasure. We gave this example before, that somebody is living in a house, a very poor family, no money, struggling very hard to maintain themselves in this world. Very hard to maintain themselves in this world. So, underneath that house, there is some treasure, big treasure, a lot of gold lying there. But this family lived in that house whole life in poverty. They had to live in the poverty. When that family eventually left that home, after the people died in that home and they all left the home, somebody came and found out that there was a huge treasure underneath the ground, which they didn't notice when they lived there. We are in that situation. That is what Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says to us, that inside us there is that big treasure inside the soul. Inside that big treasure, the soul. And that soul, we have no contact with it, no realization of its presence inside. Completely forgetting our connection with that, we are inquiring for some little happiness in this world in so many different ways. So, there is where the difference is. a realized soul while he is living within this body. While living within this body, that thing which is not the body, that vastu, he sees that as his identity. He sees that as his identity. That is self-realization. That means a jnani or a great mahatma or a devotee, while living within this body, he sees that vastu inside, which is not the body, he sees that his identity, and he sees that that most amazing thing for him. And Kathopanishad says that, like that, that the it says that the same thing they repeat after that. It says, Ashariram sharire eshu anavasteshu avastidam. Mahandam vibhu alpanam matva dhiro na shochati. This is the next verse after Anoraniyam Mahadomahiyam. Nachiketas went to see Yama. And that is where this discussion happens in the Kathopanishad. It is these verses which comes in the Ekadashi Skandam in different forms. Dehastobina Dehasta is nothing but the same verse spoken by Krishna to Uddhava in another way. What it says is, Ashariram Sharireshu Anavasteshu Avastidam. Then Mahandam Vibhu Almanam Matva Dhiro Nashochati. No shochari. So, material body, which is continuously getting destroyed, inside that, something which never gets destroyed. Ashariram Sharireshu. That is what it is. The nature of that soul. Body is continuously getting destroyed. Destruction is imminent. It will happen, isn't it? That's the nature of the material body. So, material body is continuously getting destroyed. But at the same time, inside there is someone who has no destruction. Ashariram Sharireshu. Ashariram Sharireshu. And Anavasteshu Avastidam. And at the same time, and the three states of existence we have, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. All these three states, the body is going through. But he is not going through. The soul is not going through those three states. See how we have to separate out these things. It is important to know this because when Upanishad says to us, the reality, the truth is that Ashariram Sharireshu, he is present inside, the body is continuously getting destroyed, it is going to birth, death, old age, disease and eventually dying and going. Bodies, all these things are happening inside the in the body. But inside him, completely unaffected by anything, Ashariram Sharireshu, he doesn't have a body, he is there. He's there, but he doesn't have a body. We think the soul has got the body, isn't it? But as far as Shastram is concerned, body has nothing to do with the soul even. The soul is so independent that body and the subtle, gross body and subtle body, they exist together. And that too is not even a reality as far as the, from the spiritual platform. From the absolute platform, this body is not a reality. When we come to the final realization, that we are spirit soul, and when that realization is complete, we don't even think about this body. We don't even, is not aware of the existence of this body at that stage. So indifferent we become towards this body at that stage. Whereas right now, we are so indifferent towards the soul. Completely opposite. Completely opposite. Ashariram Sharireshu. Ashariram Sharireshu. Anavasteshu Avastidam. Anavasteshu, avastha means, these are called avastatrayam. Avastatrayam means jagrat, sopnam, sushupti, the three states of existence. These three states we are going through every day. That's what we think about us, isn't it? Oh, I am in the vacant state now. When I go to sleep, I'll go into dream state. And then I go into deep sleep state. I wake up in the morning. So all the identification is with these three states, isn't it? All the identification is with these three states, jagrat, sopnam, sushupti. Kathopanishad is saying to us, anavasteshu avasthidam, although he does not participate in any of these three states of existence, he is still there. Ashariram sharireshu, anavasteshu avasthidam. He is still present there. And what else he says there? Says, mahandam vibhu almanam matva dhiro na shochati. So, he is, and he doesn't have... Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushuti means we have three different bodies, isn't it? We have one body in the in the vacant state. We have another body in the dream state. And we have a third body in the deep sleep, which is known as the body in the vacant state, body in the dream state, which is the dream body, and the gross body is the body in the vacant state. The dream body is a subtle body, and the karana shariram, it is called the causal body, where all our vasanas are stored up, and that is the causal body, karana shariram, it is called. So he inside the soul, he has nothing to do with any of these three bodies either. Nothing to do with the. So he says here that so that soul who is present inside, he should be realized by the process of bhakti and jnanam. So a person who has realized that, he will never feel distress again. Will never happen to him again any distress. So that's what Upanishad's point is. Upanishads are saying to us, one who has realized him, who is inside, who is a witness to everything, but who is completely unaffected by the three states of existence, Jagra, Sapnam, Sushupti, and who, while within this body, not affected by the birth, death, old age and disease, who is completely independent from all that, if he is realized, then you are completely released from all distress in this world, in this. And whatever you may attain in this world, achieve in this world, till you reach that state of realizing him, you have to go through distress. That is the verdict of Shastra, and that you can also analyze yourself. As I can repeatedly say the same thing, that even if you are the richest person in this world, you have to go through birth, death, old age, disease. He's not free from that, isn't it? Even if you are the most wealthy person in this world, and all the newspapers are every day putting out your name as in the list 500 or first 10 or first 5, whatever it is, you think, are they free from distress? No. They also go through the same problems like we do, birth, death, old age and disease. There applies to them as well. Nobody is free from that. Nobody is free from that. Suppose you have the most beautiful person in this world, that person will feel greatest distress when the body starts changing and losing its beauty, loses its beauty. They try very hard to keep their body as beautiful as they can, as long as they can, but eventually they have to surrender. There is no choice there, isn't it? There is no choice there. So everything if you take in this world, you can see ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu avasthidam, that till we realize that one which is inside, and our understand that that is our identity, no matter who you are, what you are in this world, the misery will follow. Misery will follow. This is the Upanishad's conclusion. You cannot escape from this misery, no matter who it is, that the material miseries will follow that person. That is the reason why the rishis and the sages gave so much importance to self-realization. So much importance to self-realization. Because it's only after self-realization we can get out of this distress. Otherwise, what will happen, as we know, that in our normal life, distress will come, distress will go. Isn't it? It'll come and go, come and go. We got so used to it. Now we started making our own philosophy, saying that, oh, that is what life is all about, isn't it? Sometimes you get happiness, sometimes you get distress. Is there anywhere written life has to be like this? Is in any book, is it written that life has to be like this? Shastram doesn't say like that. Shastram is saying, no, that is not our life. Our life, we have accepted it like this, that this is the only way you can live in this world. Sometimes happy, sometimes suffering, sometimes again happy, sometimes again suffering. This way, day after day, going through the same cycle, and life one day dead and gone from here. So therefore, Upanishad says to us, that ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu avasthidam. That realize that what Kathamanishad is saying, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam in a different way. Dehastobina dehasta vidvan sapnan yathotida adehastobina dehasta kumadi sapnadrug yatha. Krishna is asking Uddhava, Uddhava, it is like this. While living in this body, dehastobi na dehasta. You have to escape from this body while living in this body itself. That's the most important thing. And adehastobina dehasta vidvan sapnan yathotida. Just like when you wake up from the dream state and come to the vacant state, all that is not a reality for you. In the same way, when you leave this body and realize who you are, you will understand that this body is not a reality. On the other hand, one who is constantly pampering the body and thinking, I am this body, what will happen to him? Adehastobina dehasta. One day the soul will leave the body, but he will come back to this body again thinking that I am this body. He'll start thinking, I'm this body, and he'll come back to that body again. So, material body is a temporary thing. And while living within this body itself, and this body which can drop any time, at any time, and inside this body never gets destroyed, one substance, one thing, what is inside. If we realize that, Upanishads are saying that Taradi, that Shokam Atmavit, Shokam Atmavit. He says there, he will get out of distress. He will get out of distress. And this is the most amazing thing, isn't it? This body is the most amazing thing in this creation. We don't take notice of it. That is our weakness. That's our ignorance, so to say. Our ignorance is this, that we don't take notice of this body, and how this body and what this body's relationship with us is. So, so, and when that realizes, Krishna says here, that the we will achieve perfection. So, freedom from distress, perfection, these things happen when we realize the self. When we realize the self.
Eshwanuralma chedasa vedi danyaha gudam anipravishtaha guhashiraha gahvare eshtam puranam.
So, adhyalma yogadi gamena deham. Adhyalma yogam. Adhyalma yoga means that adhyalma yoga means our mind, which is focused on the world outside, in the external world, turning it inwards and starting inquiry of that truth inside, that is called Adhyatma Yogam. Adhyatma Yogam, one who realizes the self, self-realization happens to him through Adhyatma Yogam process. And that what Krishna is saying here is that he starts seeing himself who he is. So, so this is the most wonderful thing. Although the sages has given the greatest importance to this, how many people in this world are inquiring the truth, this truth, are looking for that? Hardly very few, isn't it? Very, very few people who are searching after that. Whereas majority of the world is looking outside. You see, we're looking outside. So, it is not happening to anyone. And you find rarely a person who starts looking inwards and living in this world. What is the reason behind it? Because if the mind is always absorbed in the objects outside, always absorbed in the objects outside, then he can never get this inward-looking nature. Inward-looking nature will never get, he will never get it. That is what Krishna is saying in the next verse, if you look.
Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajade Mamanusmaradas chittam mayeva praviliyade.
You can't get it more clear than that. Krishna is saying, the verse number is 27, isn't it? 27, yeah. Krishna is, after talking about Krishna in the 26th verse, Yadha yadalma parimarjade so. In the next verse, Krishna is saying,
Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajade Mamanusmaradas chittam mayeva praviliyade.
Very clear. Krishna is saying,
Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajjade. 24 hours, one who has sent his mind to the world outside, that means he is absorbed in the vishayam. In the vishayam means everything in this creation outside, so, which is giving us sense gratitude.
Basically, if you look at ourselves, you can see, what do we do in the, every day when we wake up till we go to bed? Only five things we do. Only five things. What are they? We see with the eye, we hear different things, we smell with the nose, we touch with the skin, and we taste. Isn't it? So five things. These are the five senses of knowledge. These five senses of knowledge goes to the world outside. And it starts bringing information and tells the mind, this is nice, this is not nice. So many different tastes it creates inside. So this mind and the senses together, they are busy with the world outside. They are busy with the world outside. Krishna is saying, Vishayam is outside. And Chittam, the mind inside, Chittam mind used in different contexts, but here it's mind, that is Chittam, Krishna uses the word here.
Vishayam dhyayadas Chittam.
If the Chittam is absorbed in Dhyanam, meditation outside, what will happen is,
Vishayeshu Vishajade. It will get diluted in that. We will get that chittam inside. If it gets in contact with the Vishayam, sense objects outside, what will happen to the chittam is, it will get completely diluted in that. It cannot come out of it. That is the most difficult thing. Vishayan, if you keep on dhyanam means meditation. Suppose every time I'm thinking about what can I eat today, or what picture should I see, what cereal should I see, or where can I get the best perfumes to smell. Like these different sensual activities, if my mind is absorbed in only in that, that mind will find it very hard to turn towards the soul. And that is the reason why we have very small number of people in this world who are looking inwards. Who are looking inwards. Very, very few. 99.999% is busy with this outside enjoying with the senses. Isn't it? So, Vishayan Dhyayadas Chittam Vishayeshu Vishajade. It will go and it will dissolve itself in the senses, sense enjoyment. It will completely get dissolved there. Then, in the next line, Krishna is saying, Ma Manusmaradas Chittam. When Krishna says Ma Manusmaradas Chittam, you have to take it in two ways. One, absorbing in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or absorption in the soul inside, which is non-different. Krishna present inside, Ma Manusmaradas Chittam. Mayeva Praviliyade. If he absorbs in the soul completely, like the jnanis do, that's what they do. They get absorbed in the soul to such an extent, withdrawing all the senses from the world outside, they will get dissolved in the soul. Mayeva Praviliyade. He'll get dissolved in the soul or dissolved in Krishna. That is what they are saying there. So, this dhyanam, now we are coming to the process of dhyanam. Because this chapter is about dhyana yogam, isn't it? We started this whole thing with the dhyanam process. That's why we discussed dhyana yogam chapter in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita before, in the same classes. So, now we talked about bhakti, and Krishna has spoken so much about bhakti. So much about bhakti here. And now, before moving to dhyanam process, Krishna is going to tell us one or two things more to bear in mind. So, slowly it has come to this understanding now, we have come to this state, that because we have dhyanam, vishayan dhyayadas chittam, vishayeshu vishajade. Because the vishayam or sense objects, our chittam has gone and got involved in the sense objects, it got dissolved there. Mind has gone and got dissolved in the sense objects. Dissolved means that it is unable to come out from that. It got dissolved there, in other words. It is so absorbed in the sense objects. Then Krishna is saying, Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajjare. If somehow someone's attention he comes out of this sense enjoyment and objects outside, and if it has turned inwards and started getting interested in Krishna, or interested in the soul inside, Ma Manusmaradas Chittam, you will get dissolved inside. Mayeva Praviliyade, he says. You will get dissolved inside. So, there Krishna has pointed out something very important to us. What Krishna is saying is, Dhyanam or anything you meditate upon will decide what will happen at the end. What you are meditating upon will develop eventually into a net result. What will come out of that? So, therefore, Krishna says there that, that if we at least keep out of that sense objects, sense gratification, at least if we keep out of it. When we say keep out of sense gratification, doesn't mean that in the absolute state, it means that not allowing any of the senses to go after enjoyment in any way. All the time absorbing Krishna's remembrance of Krishna, remembrance of the soul. But Bhagavad Gita at that point is saying to us, the same thing, pointing out to us, Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsam. The same thing in Bhagavad Gita you will see. Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsam Sangasteshu Vajayade. This is the greatest danger. Greatest danger in the means, anything if you meditate upon, any meditation happens on anything in this world, attachment will develop. The link will happen. Impossible to give up that link. Just enough, sufficient, if a mind gets a little thought over any topic, there is a link will get established. You may think, I've thought about it and then I left it. It has not gone. It's there. It's there. It's looking for an opportunity to come out again. That you won't know it. And you would have forgotten by now that you have thought about that before. Next time when it manifests in the form of an action rather than a thought. Initially it has come as a thought and it has gone away. And then it comes, next time when it comes in a more powerful way. That means immediately you are ready to act based on that thought. Isn't it? So that's why how alert and how vigilant we have to be as far as this mind is concerned. So Krishna says, Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsam Sangasteshu Vajayate. What will happen? The slow process or the sequence in which how we fall in this material world, how we have fallen down. This is what Krishna is explaining there. Sangasteshu Vajayate. Sangam. Sangam has happened. With any sense object, some sangam has happened. Sangal Sanjayate Kamam. It will immediately generate a desire inside us. A desire, it will create inside. Sanjayade kamam, sangal sanjayade kamal krodho vijayade. Once a desire is created, kamam, desire is created, you want it. You want to have that. And if you don't get it, you get angry. Kamal krodho vijayade. Krodhal bhavati samoham. When krodham, anger comes inside, samoham, delusion comes. And samohal smriti vibhramaha. Smriti vibhramam happens. Smriti vibhramam means that you have started identification with the body and body. You have lost the spiritual thoughts at all from inside of who you are. That smriti has lost it. Smriti of your own identity, you have lost it. Smriti brahmshal. Once you have lost it, smriti brahmshal buddhinasham. Buddhinasham, intelligence is lost. Buddhinashal pranashyati. When buddhinasham happens, you will fall. Buddhinashal pranashari. So, this principle in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken, is the same principle what all the big companies use for advertisement. This is what they use. They understood us very well. They don't have to do anything. They are not asking you to buy. Have you seen? They don't tell you to buy anything. All they will do is, you are watching a television program, right in the middle they will bring and show you something like, have a look at this. And they'll pull it back. After 10 minutes, you are hearing Bhagavad Gita. So many channels are giving Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? And in all that channels, you can see, right in the middle, there'll be an advertisement of a BMW car or something like that. And they'll go back. They're not asking you to buy. They don't even tell you the price sometimes. They'll only show you the car and it'll go away. After 10 minutes, another again it comes. Same one. Comes and goes away. So, this is how much it costs these companies. They will pay for it. They know the philosophy behind it. Probably they have studied. Our Swamis have gone and taught them all these things. that they utilize this Bhagavad Gita's principle very well. The advertising industry is completely based on these verses in the second chapter. That is the fundamentals behind it. How they cheat us in all levels. And then few times you have seen that it is planted inside very well. Then the thought starts developing, how can I have that? That it is good to have that. If it is a cheap thing, it's not too expensive, let it be anything like a soap powder or something like that, you'll go and buy it. Because it doesn't cost the money. But if it's an expensive car, if you are working and you are earning well, you will think how many years I have to work to get it. All this subordinate thought starts developing inside. How to buy that BMW in 5 years time or 10 years time. And you start imagining yourself driving that car, sitting inside through the motorway at a higher speed, getting police caught for some time. This doesn't cost any money, isn't it? To imagine things like that doesn't cost any money. But it says here, Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsam Sangasteshu Vajayade. Attachment is already created. Sitting inside that car, how you are enjoying life, and all sorts of thoughts along with that, which you can develop in whichever way you like it. Sangasteshu bhajayade, sangal sanjayade, kamam kamal krodho bhajayade, krodhal bhavade samoha, samohal smriti vibhrama, smriti brahmshal buddhinasho, buddhinashal pranashari. After that, what happened is, you have fallen completely. Buddhinashal pranashari. Once you have executed that action, then you have completely fallen. What you have done so far is that you have gone after that sense object, and till you got it, you worked for it, for that sense gratification, and gratified your senses completely. And then you realized after a while it was all a waste of time. It was not worth all that effort. So that is why it is said like that, that so the mind has this nature. It gets very quickly influenced. It gets very quickly influenced. One sannyasi used to say about this, he says that from the yogurt you keep on churning and the butter will come out. And till the butter comes out, it is not it's not safe enough. But once you have taken the butter out, then it will stay separate from the buttermilk. It will stay separately from the yogurt. So if you have noticed in the olden days when they were churning, nowadays everything you can buy from Tesco or Sainsbury directly. You don't have to do all that. But in the olden days, the women will sit in the kitchen and they'll keep on churning to separate the butter out from the yogurt. So they have to do that. But they know very well, till they get all the butter out and it becomes a lump, it will float in the same buttermilk. You can take it out, even if, and they will store it in the buttermilk, which it has come from. It will go back, it will not go back and dissolve itself in the buttermilk. It will remain as butter. Once it has become butter, it will remain as butter. So similarly, it is also mentioned here that till we separate out this butter from inside the soul, this, once it is separated, then that butter will not go. Even if it is remaining inside the body, it won't get dissolved in that body. Now it is in a dissolved state. We have to, through understanding from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to learn to separate that butter out from this yogurt. What is this body? And that is the process Krishna is talking about here. So there was a famous sannyasi. He had a water pot with him. Water pot. And it was a copper pot. You know, sannyasis carry the water pot, isn't it? So in that copper water pot, every day he used to wash it and polish it and shine, make it shine very well. They use tamarind and some things like that to wash this copper pot so that it gets its shining nature of this water pot. So one day, one of the sannyasi's disciples asked him, why do you have to do this every day, this cleaning, this polishing, this pot? So his answer was this, that till you realize, he was actually teaching the disciple, till you realize the self, you have to continue doing it. This polishing business. What is that? Bhakti. What is that? Chanting the holy name. We have to do it. We have no choice there. If you keep on chanting, absorbing yourself in bhakti process, it is the polishing business that started, in other words. Polishing business has started. And you can't stop it in the middle saying that now that is that much shining is sufficient. No. Till it gets completely polished and the soul starts showing its symptoms from inside and we start recognizing that our identity with the soul, you have to keep polishing this day after day after day. At that time, the disciple asked a question to this sannyasi. So if the, instead of having with the copper pot, if it is a golden pot, what do we have to do that? He said, no. If a person is self-realized, he is a golden pot, then he doesn't need any more polishing after that. But so long as you have a copper pot, it needs to be polished in the process of sadhana. Sadhana is necessary. So in other words, till this, so the in the Vidyaranya Swamiji says this in Panchadashi. He talks about it in a nice way. What he says is that all through our life, we have identified as false ego, isn't it? And that's how we have been working in this world. That I am a false ego, you are a false ego, everybody is a false ego. And this society is nothing but a group of so many false egos working together. They have created certain norms in the society. We have said that you stay in your place, I stay in mine, don't step into my area, I don't step into yours. And that way, all the false ego has made an agreement with each other. That is what is called the social law, society. Society has created this law, isn't it? So, one who has come to inquire about the self, he has to understand that throughout so many lifetimes, and even in this lifetime, he has been identifying with the false ego. He has been identifying with the false ego. So, as an atonement for that, what he has to do
that many hours in a day, he has to constantly talk to himself and think that he is not that false ego or he is not that body. Rather, he is the spirit soul. And that is known as Atmadhyanam. It's a kind of an atonement for this false thing what we have done by identification with the body. In other words, this is called the Viparita Prakriya. Viparita Prakriya means we have done something and we got ourselves conditioned in this state, right? And this, from this conditioning to escape, the only way, Yanis are saying, is to use the same process in the opposite way. Same process in the opposite way and start identifying with the soul. So in order to do that, meditation is necessary. That is why dhyanam is going to be discussed in this chapter afterwards. So why dhyanam is necessary? So what does it mean? If continuously, if you are absorbing in vishayam, sense objects, that mind will go after that. Once you have understood that principle, that how should we live in this world, that question will come. Only what is minimum necessary, only allow the mind to engage in the sense objects. What is absolutely minimum necessary, that much you can allow the mind to absorb. Many people have this misunderstanding that if I chant 16 rounds a day and rest of the time during the day I can do my business, job, whatever it is, and I will get released from this material life. It wouldn't happen. It won't happen. I don't know how this misunderstanding has come, but many people say like this, that I'm chanting my 16 rounds, I'm following four regulative principles, and then I'm doing my work, whatever work I am doing. But in all that work, everything has to come to the pure stage, where if it is not linked with Krishna somehow, that work, and that purification hasn't happened in that way, it is not possible that dhyanam will not come inside. If you read Prabhupada's books very carefully, you will find this Prabhupada saying at different places, but because it is difficult, we just ignore it. He says, we don't take that seriously. Only 16 rounds will do. That's all Prabhupada. Because we have this misunderstanding that by doing something, we are going to get it. It is not by doing that you will get something. Spiritual life is never like that. In material life, everything is you do something, you will get it. But in spiritual life, it's not by doing that you get it. It is this dhyanam, what Krishna talks about here, has to happen. Therefore, 24 hours or everything in life has to be centered around Krishna or about the soul. Only in that situation it can happen. But if that is not possible, it has to be brought to the very minimum. So that absorption in the world should be brought to the very minimum. So, people will ask this question, if you start saying like this, how will we live in this world? We have to earn a living. All these questions will come. So, office, you have to go to the office, you have to do the work there. There is no escape from that. Only thing you can do it at that time is, this is what is my prarabdham, thinking like that, go and do it. There's no other choice than that. There's nothing you can do, there's no alternative to that. So, but there are certain things what one can do, Shastram says about that. There are certain things one can do. Any work when you take up, if you have identification with the work, it will cause more problem. That means if you start identifying with the work, expectation of lot of results from that, and I am the doer and I want to be a high flyer, I want to identify with everything in this world, you will identify and you will suffer from that more. So therefore, those who are learned and those who have gone through spiritual life in this body while living here, their argument is this, that if you have to do something, you have to do it with the least identification with that action. For example, when we were at school, you have studied a lot of things, isn't it? We studied a lot of things, lot of unnecessary things. If you think about that, while studying all that subjects, at least till GCSE you can say, 10, 12 GCSEs, yeah? So, out of the 12 subjects, what you have done for GCSE, how much of it basically has come to use to you in your life in this world? Practically, you can say very little.
very little. But because the system is telling us that you need all these GCSEs for your going to college or studying further, to get another qualification, to get a work, all that. So you have to study that. So, but in really, in spiritual realization is concerned, out of that 10 or 12 subjects what you have studied, practically nothing has come of any use to us, isn't it? But one good thing was, while studying all that, we were aware that that is of no use to us. Knowing very well we were studying that, weren't we? We were memorizing it, keeping it in the head, so that at least when you finish the exam and got that certificate or the degree or whatever it is, you are finished with it. You don't want to think about it anymore. Many students will say this. They'll say, I just want to finish with it and forget about it, they say. Because they have no interest in that. So if you can do the work also in the same way, just like you were able to forget everything, now you don't remember anything what you have studied in the school. Why? You had no interest in that, isn't it? Practically you had no interest in any of those things what you have studied. Only you have kept those what you wanted for your living or to work in this world. You have kept those things. Practically you can see in the modern world, there is so much specialization in things. Then if it is such a specialization, why study all the garbage all along? And 10, 12 years, best years in life, gone. Wasted there. There itself it's wasted. And then another, after that qualification what we have got, in the name of earning a livelihood, you are studying further, acquiring more avidya inside, and continue that process, and ultimately you will notice that the whole thing was a business where you have lost a lot. The whole was a waste of business, wasted time. So that is the point. Krishna is saying here is that as much as necessary, keep that contact with the world, not more than that. Only that much, as much as is necessary. So why did we forget everything what we studied in the school? Only because one reason, that because we never had any interest in that. We studied it because we had to write the examination and get the finish it with that. So from this you can understand the nature of the mind. Nature of the mind. So in other words, if you have no serious identity with anything, it will not stick inside. Only if you show some interest in something and if you start enjoying something, it will stick inside. But if you don't enjoy anything, you just do it as a work, simply as you studied at the school and leave it, then it will not stick inside. That work won't create any vasana inside. That's what it means. Work won't create any vasana inside. That, on the other hand, if you start thinking that everything what you are doing in the office or in the factory is going to create so much happiness in this world, or by producing the goods what you are manufacturing in the factory is going to make your life so successful and happy in this world. With that understanding, if you absorb in the work to such a degree, what will happen? You will start thinking there is happiness in that, and that in the Shastram they call it as Gunadhyasam. Gunadhyasam means that you are giving some reality to something which it doesn't have. In all the work what we do in the offices and factories and everything, all that it is, guna adhyasam it is, in other words it says that it is also another kind of dhyanam starts, meditation starts inside. So it is on this principle that you can see, if you look back to your own life, you can see many things has come to your life due to guna adhyasam. Due to this adhyasamit gunam, adhyasamiti modes of nature. And all these things Krishna has taken into account while talking about these verses. This is all behind it. He says here, like that you can see that some 30, 40 years ago, we didn't have many things what we have today, isn't it? So many things. Like I remember in 19, when Prabhupada was here, 75 till 77, we didn't have CDs, even recording equipments were not many available. We had only this Grundig, the German company who manufactured this tape recording machine, which had these big reels of tape. It keeps rotating, and that was an expensive machine as well, that Grundig tape recorder. So cassettes were come to the market, and they were expensive. And these cassettes, now you go and look in the market, there is no cassettes anywhere. They've all gone. It only lasted 5 or 10 years, it's gone.
And then the CDs and other things have come. Now that's over. Then the mini disc has come. That's also gone now. Mini disc is gone. And it all lasts for a few years and it goes. And then after that come now, we have got this iRiver and iPods and this, all kinds of things has come later. So what I'm saying is that so many things are coming and in everything we put our heads into it. And starts, it's nice to have this, it's nice to have that, and it's nice to have everything. So like this, so many things have we got caught into it. This is what has happened to us. I don't know here, in India at least 40-50 years ago there was no fridge. Now you go, there is nobody without a fridge. Everyone has got a fridge now. And same thing, everything, electricity wasn't there, everybody has wants electricity. If you don't have electricity, you are not up to the mark. You are someone, you are useless in this world. So, same thing with the television. Same with the television. And now, the last thing what you got is 3G or 4G or whatever, mobile phone. And have you noticed with this? People are traveling from London, say from London to Watford. Every station, I've got here now. I'm in the next station. And now I'm in Watford. I'm waiting for the taxi. I'll be there in 10 minutes. So this is modern traveling, isn't it? Before that also, people traveled from London to Watford. They were not making phone, because it wasn't there, it was not causing any problem. Now, what I'm saying this is, to understand that what is happening to us, when you keep on doing like this, you cannot be peaceful within yourself. Never a time you can sit quietly. If there is nothing there, take the mobile phone. Tuck, 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 all the time. With that. Why is that? Think about that. Why is it like that? In the past, people sat quietly in one place and they could reflect on things. You tell these people to read Srimad Bhagavatam and to reflect on it, they can't reflect. They say, tell us the answer. Or send us a text, as they say. Isn't it? This is what we are today. Think about this. Where we are, how much we have degraded ourselves. We are frightened. If I don't have a mobile phone in the hand to do this all the time, I am in tension. Great tension develops inside. And then everyone is finding difficult to be alone in this world. Finding it very frightened about being alone. Always need some company. And all the great devotees say they like to be alone. They like to be alone. And Krishna is also telling us, be alone. Because it is in that loneliness, all this shanti, chitta shanti, what Krishna talks about, for the mind will happen. Otherwise it is not going to happen. So everywhere, when we have disturbed the mind so much, always this fear inside, in the absence of something, I am missing something. I don't have it. If I don't have a mobile phone, I need a computer, laptop on me all the time. If I don't have the laptop, something else. So always this fear. Why? Everybody is frightened about their own mind. This is what it is coming to. People are frightened about their own mind. When you see young people, 18, 20 years old, when they are with this mobile phone, now nobody, there's no one without a mobile phone. Even the dog has got the mobile phone now. That is the advancement what we have. We'll tell the dog to get one mobile phone if he doesn't. Even we'll give him and we'll train the dog tomorrow to use the mobile phone. This is a society what we are. But, and these things are not favorable for spiritual life. This is the point. That when mind gets like this, in this way, in this direction, if the mind travels, what will happen is, all the Srimad Bhagavatam will remain an unknown entity. Very difficult to understand Bhagavatam with all these things going on. And that is why, Vishayan Dhyayanas Chitam, that verse is, Krishna is putting it very openly to us. Only thing was, if mobile phone did exist at that time, Krishna would have mentioned that in the Bhagavatam. That Vishayan Dhyayadas Chittam Vishayeshu Vishajade Maam Anusmaradas Chittam Mayeva Praviliyade. For spiritual life, you don't require any of these things. This is a misunderstanding. I need all these things for spiritual. Actually, you can make a lot of spiritual advancement when you have nothing. When you are completely free from all this, you advance faster in spiritual life. That steadiness, that peacefulness and shanti inside will come. And it is pure nature. Many, many people practice spiritual life in that way, even today. even today. They are shunned away from everything because they know they are only a disturbance in life, nothing more than a disturbance in life. So because these verses, when Krishna has spoken, he meant Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu visajjade mam anusmaradas chittam ayeva praviliyade. Because if we have to be focused on the soul, on Krishna, all these are distractions. They are nothing but distractions, isn't it? So that's why Krishna is saying here that if we don't get it, you get upset, first thing. That is one way it goes. And on the other hand, if it sticks inside, then you will have a desire will develop. Then every year you change your mobile phone to upgrade it, as they say, isn't it? You have to upgrade every year. To upgrade your car, you have to upgrade your mobile phone, you have to upgrade your computer. Everything you have to keep on upgrading, and the whole life is busy with upgrading. So these two things. Now, coming to the main thing you're talking about. So what will happen? It is at that stage Smriti Vibhrama, Krishna says, isn't it? Smriti Vibhrama. Smriti Vibhrama means Samohal Smriti, Smriti Vibhrama. These are different stages when it happens. So what is my position in this world? I'll forget that. That's what happens. Artificially, you are thinking that you are something different than what you are not. Actually, you are a spirit soul. You have lost that identity. You are identifying with the body. And identifying with the body and mind, now you are identifying with something else, some other object in this world. That is called Smriti Vibhrama. So, you immediately you forget how you lived in this world before, without all these things. And this is the power of Maya. This is Maya. Maya's power is like this. It knows how to take you away from your own spiritual identity. So, how to forget yourself, that is what is known as avaranam. Avaranam means the covering potency of Maya. Quietly, it takes you away from your pure identity of the soul and fallen into the identity with the body and identity with all the other bodily objects in this world, and became a part of that. This is that continuous degradation and falling and forgetfulness of our identity, who we are. Suppose, when we say we are spirit soul, suppose for me to understand that all these are impediments, they are all obstacles in that. To realize that truth, I have to be away, free from all these things. That's only way I can get to that, understanding what Krishna is saying in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when that all these different things are coming and become a block in realizing the truth, rather drags me further and further to identify with them and become a part of it, that is called avaranam. That is called avaranam, covering potency of the Maya, covering potency of the Maya. And in the middle of all these things, in the middle of all these things, that sometimes we are identifying that I am something else. First I have forgotten everything, what I am. Now I am start identifying something and remember that all the time. That is called vichevam. That's called vichevam. So, we have lost our identity as the soul, identify with the body and identify with various other designations in this world, in different ways. I am this, I am that, I am a man, I am a husband, I am an Indian, I am American, I am European. All these kind of things, this is called avaranam. This is called, that's all coverage of the soul. But when you start identifying with things and accepting that as you, that is called vichevam. That is called vichevam. Avarana vichevam is the two things that is constantly taking us away from the truth. So it is keeping these two things, avaranam and vichevam, make the Maya for us to forget the soul. Make us to forget the soul. Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajjade mam anusmaradas chittam mayeva praviliyade. So, one who is continuously pursuing after the sense enjoyment, that consciousness, he will go and get dissolved there. And what is the way to come out of it? And that is what, if you continuously absorb in the soul and Krishna, what will happen is that will go in the other way. Our attention will lose away from this world. That is what, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see in the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj says to Krishna, the same thing here. That continuously I want to hear about you. You may wonder in the Bhagavatam why they have said like that. Prithu Maharaj says that give me 10,000 years, he says, to hear about you. 10,000 years. He says, so that I can constantly hear about you. By constantly hearing, what will happen? This attention will go away. That dhyana, meditation on the senses and the world outside will leave, and the meditation on the soul will develop. Like I mentioned before, that in the fourth canto, if you look into ninth chapter, you will see Dhruva Maharaj says there, that Dhruva Maharaj's verse on that, he says, that the bhaktim muhu pravahadam tvayime prasango bhuyadanandam hadam amalashayanam yen anjase ulbanam uruvyasanam bhavabdhim neshe bhaval gunam kathamrda panamattaha. Very important verse. He says, bhaktim muhu pravahadam tvayime prasango. Then, Mahalpas, whose mind is completely absorbed in Krishna, or who has constantly in Krishna, completely Krishna conscious all the time, from such personalities, bhaktim muhu pravaharam toime prasango bhuyad anandam hadam amalashayanam. Amalashayanam. In other words, their consciousness is pure. Because of their bhakti, their consciousness is pure. And because of their consciousness, and because they carry love for Krishna within their heart, let their association happen to me. This is Dhruva Maharaj's prayer to Krishna. Dhruva is a devotee, isn't it? So devotee is saying this, bhakti muhu pravahadam toime prasango bhuyad anandam hadam amalashayanam. And ena anjaso ulbanam uruvyasanam bhavabdhim neshe bhaval gunam kathamrdam panamattaham. So when I start hearing about Krishna from the lips of these pure devotees, and hearing that continuously, what will happen to me? That I keep on drinking that nectar, and in that way I will cross over this material existence, samsara samudram. Or neshe ten anjase ulbanam uruvyasanam bhavabdi. Bhavabdi means the cycle of birth and death, or cycle of material existence. I will cross over that ocean in that way. Neshe bhaval guna kathamrda panamattaha. I'll simply hearing about Krishna's glories, I'll get intoxicated with that. And Dhruva Maharaj says to Krishna that, I will cross over this ocean in that way. They didn't say that I will listen to Srimad Bhagavatam half an hour or an hour a day. No, they say 24 hours I'll hear about you. Because there is no other way you can come out of this. So much avidya has gone inside, and identification with this body. And to counteract that, a continuous here, Srimad Bhagavatam is necessary. That is the most important thing. And exactly the same thing, Prithu Maharaj told the Kumaras also. Four Kumaras, when they came to tell him, he says to them, give me 10,000 years. Mahattam andan khadayam bujachidum vidhalsakarna idameshame varya. That is what Prithu Maharaj's statement. It says, Mahattam andar mukham bujachidum. These Mahalpas who are talking about Krishna, completely absorbed in Krishna. There are many personalities who are living like that even today. Don't think that everyone else is don't have the time. They have got the time because they found the time for themselves. We haven't got the time because we haven't found the time. So, Mahattaman Dharmukhambujachyudo Vidhalsa Karna Idamesha Mevara. They found the time, and what they do? They continuously, the nectar that flow from their lips of Krishna, about Krishna. Krishna is a big topic to discuss. It's not just a few stories, Krishna. Krishna is a big topic. And when they discuss about Krishna in that way, when it falls from their lips, vithalsa karnaidame shameivaram, that the ears, when they receive that, it purifies and it connects straight away. There is a what they call a nerve, which is directly connected from the heart to ear. And there is a block at the moment in that nerve. This is a yogi's conclusion about that. A nerve that is connected from the heart to the ear. And that nerve is blocked at the moment. When we continuously hear about Krishna, slowly it opens up. And when it opens up, what we heard about Krishna, it flows directly to the heart and it changes the heart. That is how that purification happens. So if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam 2 hours a day,
and 20 hours we are busy with the rest of the world, who will win? It's very easy to understand, isn't it? So that is why it is mentioned here that the ulbanam uruvyasanam, that it is, this material world is nothing but distress packaged nicely. Packaged distress. That's what is on offer here. Because no matter what anyone says, at the end it is all distress, isn't it? Only realized soul has talked to us about it. Like Buddha found out that very early in his life, isn't it? What did Buddha say? Buddha says, Edi janma jara maranam na bhaved, he says, if there is no birth, if there is no death, if there is no old age, I'm happy to live here as a king, he says. But he weighed up both sides and he found out that the so-called kingdom, king's position and all that, useless at the end. Why? Birth is there, death is there, old age is there. I can't escape from that. You have no answer for that, Buddha says to his father, to Bimbisara. This is what he said. That is why he is Buddha and we are what we are, because of this. He asked such question to, that is why Brahma is Brahma and what we are today like we are. So he says to Brahma, he says to his father, Yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet, if there is no birth, there is no old age, there is no death, I would like to live as a king in Gaya, as a king. I'll be more than happy to continue with that. Then he says, Yadi ishtaviyogam na bhavet, if you are given, got married, you got me married to a nice girl, and if you have children later, and all of them are around me, and I'll be very happy to live with them and live a very comfortable life nicely, everything is taken care of. But where is the guarantee that they will stay? There is no guarantee. Yadi ishtaviyogam na bhavet. So if separation won't happen in this world, then it is a nice place to stay. You can stay forever in the association of wife and children and family and all that. But they will come and they'll go. They are not going to stay. Isn't it? Yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet, yadi ishtaviyogam na bhavet. And Edi Sarvam Anityanayam na bhavet, even you are given me this palace and all these facilities, everything here, is this permanent? Even that is not permanent, because the other countries, the nearby kingdoms, the next kings, they are waiting for the opportunity to take care of, take control of this. They are also always frightening from every side. I have to be always prepared to fight the battle with them. So where is the happiness, he says? Edi janma jara maranam na bhavet. Yadi ishtaviyogam na bhavet, ye sarvam anitya na bhavet, iha janma radir kasya na bhavet. What kind of happiness can you have it here? This is Buddha's question. That's why Lord Buddha was so realized in such an early age in life that he was able to see through these things so deeply, and he made these impressions in the same way. So in the same way, these questions have come from there. That Bhagavad Katha, continuously hearing Bhagavadam, is the only solution to this problem of chanting the holy name and taking Krishna shelter. And constantly, if it is done in a continuous way for a long, long period of time, one day by Krishna's kripa, when that mercy comes, a spark of that experience will come from within in the self, in the form of self-realization. At that time, we will start understanding that we are not this body. You are not this body. And that is how that mercy comes from Krishna. That is why it is called Krishna's mercy. So, by all this, Bhagavad Katha Shravanam, hearing about Krishna and remembrance of that, we should never even know about material existence in this world. But if it is like that, what should we do? The question will come. Should we all leave the family and run away from that? That will be the next question, isn't it? What should we do? Should we all know that his family is becoming problem, so let's leave all the family life and run away from that? No, that's not what Krishna is saying. We'll try to understand that. Krishna is saying that you can stay in the family, but don't family stick to you. Don't the family stick to you. If it starts sticking, be careful. They're going to be in trouble. It's going to be trouble. You can live in the family, but remain always completely, you know, this certain... You can buy these pans, isn't it? When you cook, it won't stick. Non-sticky.
Teflon.
Yeah, Teflon, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we all need a Teflon coating. We need that Teflon coating. Otherwise, you have to suffer. That is the law of nature. We get attached with everything, and wife, children, husband, uncle, aunt, all kinds of things. And in all that, if you start identifying with them and get attached to them, Krishna says there is no hope much
after that. So that is why he is saying here, just like the boat can stay in the water, but water cannot enter into the boat. If water enters into the boat, then gone. Boat will sink. Isn't it? So that is the way to live in this world. You cannot, what we have got, by due to prarabdham, so many things have come in life. Somebody's got a wife, somebody's got a husband, somebody's got children, somebody, so many things in this. Whatever it may be, what Krishna is saying here is that if you stick to anything, you have to suffer. That is the law behind it. That's the law behind it. So, so that is the greatest danger, that sticking. That sticking is the greatest danger. Particularly in Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, and it is the most greatest danger. Particularly in these two, Jnana Margam and Bhakti Margam, it is the greatest danger. Karma Margam is not so much a danger. Why? In Karma Margam, what is happening is, those who are very attached goes to Karma Margam. Isn't it? Those who are very attached, they go to Karma Margam. So they have to come out of it first, the attachment, for which Karma Margam is recommended to them, to follow that. And Karma Margam, particularly what it does is, quietly takes us out of our attachment to this world, to our results from, some people wants everything in this world, isn't it? So for such people, Karma Margam is recommended. They should go out, work, as money, earn as much money as they want, buy everything in the shop, whether it is in all the supermarket, hypermarket, everything they can go buy and keep it at home and look at it and feel happy from that. So for those people who are attached to the work, attached to the results, Karma Margam is recommended to escape from that. Karma Yogam, in other words. So here, Krishna says here, in that verse, that is the next verse what Krishna is talking about in that chapter. Tasmad, therefore, asadabhidhyanam, tasmad asadabhidhyanam, yadha sopnamanuradham, hitva mai samadhalswa, mano madbhava bhavidam. This is an important verse. Tasmad asadabhidhyanam, yadha sopnamanuradham, hitva mai samadhalswa, mano madbhava bhavidam. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, just like a dream and the mental chariot, what you are traveling at the moment, and developing all fascination for so many things in this world, and developing attachment to them, give up those thoughts, and continuously engage in Krishna consciousness, and focus your mind upon me. That is that. Now, that word, which Krishna has used there, asadabhidhyanam, that requires an explanation. Because what is asadabhidhyanam? Asadabhidhyanam, if you want to know what Krishna says there, is asata means what? We have studied that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Sata, asata. Sata is the truth. Sat is the only truth. And that truth is only soul. Everything what is not soul is asata. And if you meditate, perform meditation on that, that is called asadabhidhyanam. Asadabhidhyanam means meditation on the asata. If you meditate upon your body, it is asadabhidhyanam. If you meditate on your family, asadabhidhyanam. If you meditate on your country, asadabhidhyanam. If you meditate upon your job, asadabhidhyanam. All of them should not be meditated upon. This is what Krishna is saying. Because it is meditation that develops later on into attachment and into asakti and turns into eventually as a problem for ourselves. So meditation should not happen on anything that is asat. Anything that is asat, you should not meditate on them. If in family life you have to do something, just do it and leave it. Don't think about it too much. Thinking that what will be the after effect of that, how others will take it. You can't afford to think like that because it is asadabhidhyanam. So anything what is not connected with sat, anything what is not connected with sat, Krishna says it is asadabhidhyanam. That is what that word Krishna is used there, asadabhidhyanam. So asadabhidhyanam, what Krishna is saying there, that so vishayan dhyayadaschittam vishayeshu visharjade ma manusmaradaschittam mayeva praliyade. So, The greatest blunder, asat, is what is the greatest blunder, you know? What is the greatest asset in this world? As far as Krishna is concerned, the greatest asat for us is this body. Can you imagine that? Not anything else takes your attention as much as this body. That is the first thing we have to get clarified within us. Nothing else in this world is the... Why? Because it takes the maximum attention from us, maximum time, maximum attention from us. This is the greatest asata. So asata vidhyanam, when Krishna says, begins with this body first. That is where all our attention should be focused on. The more we give attention to the body, the more is asata vidhyanam. Tasmad, Krishna says, asata vidhyanam, that about this body, don't give any attention to the body. What does that mean? It means that do not think that this body is you, or the body is mine, or body is, I am this body, or body is mine, or even to think that body is meant for your enjoyment. If these three things, we have to keep on repeatedly talk to us and write it down in the diary all the time, and preach to ourselves, saying to us, I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not meant for enjoyment. These are all the avidya inside. This is called asadabhidhyanam. That asadabhidhyanam is this. Always to think I'm this body. Always to think this body is mine. And always to think body is for my enjoyment. To such an extent, if we keep on meditating on this, it is very, very difficult to come out of this body identity. To come out of this bodily identity. Even you can see sometimes devotees also fall into the same situation, isn't it? Although we hear, I'm not this body and all. When I think sometimes our devotees are the one who are taking the maximum care of the body than anyone else in this world. Even karmi people, they don't care for the body so much. But when I see the devotees, oh, if you do a little work, oh, what's going to happen to my body? Or when they start saying that... as soon as there is a little flu or any little disturbance in the body, straight away to the GP or to the consultant or for a few massages in the Ayurvedic resort or somewhere like that, once or twice we have to go. And bodily concept is like that. Without our knowledge, it encroaches and it takes control of us. So asadabhidhyanam is like that. Whereas you will notice all the great devotees, they never thought about their body at all, under all circumstances. Body was not important for them. Body, it's there. If it's there, utilize it, if it can be of any use. But beyond that, to give importance to the body will lead into this asadabhidhyanam. Tasmad, Krishna says, therefore, very straight, tasmad asadabhidhyanam yadha swapnam manoradham. Because this body, as far as Krishna is concerned, is nothing but a dream. It has no reality. And in your mind, you have already set it up in that way. Oh, it is a reality. It is me. If I don't look after the body, what will happen to this body? This is all thoughts what you have developed centered around this body. That's why Krishna is saying, yadha swapnam, yadha tasmad asadabhidhyanam, yadha swapnam anuradham, hitva, give it up. Mai samadhalsva, mano madhavavidam, absorb in me. Krishna says, absorb in me means absorb in self-realization. Or absorb in Krishna, in other words. Krishna, own self-realization. Mai samadhalsva, mano madbhava bhavidam. If you absorb like that, what will happen is, slowly, that attachment to the body will go, and absorption in the body will go, and body will not give you any more trouble after that. At least that much, it will stop. In other words, whatever by prarabdham you have to suffer in this world, you are bound to suffer. You won't be able to free yourself from that. It will come. In some way, it will come. And like everything else in this, as I mentioned, like medicine and science and all, what it has done is, practically what it has done is, a man who has lost a leg, it has given one stick to it and say, you hold the stick and walk. That's how much it is doing. No disease is getting actually completely cured, isn't it? Many, many diseases, new diseases are building up all the time. New diseases are developing. So where is the cure for the body? There is no cure for the body. On one hand, they say they have controlled so many diseases, cholera, smallpox, and malaria and all that. But on the other hand, we have got new ones coming. Alzheimer's, dementia, this, that, so many other new things, which you never heard of before.
So why is that? Because these are the byproducts of the new way of life, what we have started, isn't it? So what is Krishna saying here? Body is asat. If you have accepted that, it is asat. It is the greatest asat. Of all the asats, it is the leader. Of all the asats, the body is the leader. So more and more attachment and attention you give to this body, it will become a meditation. Tasmad asadabhidhyanam. He says, Tasmad asadabhidhyanam yatha sopnamanoryatham hitva mai samadhal sva manav madhava bhavidam. Krishna says, give up that attachment, and if will that, what will happen? Will any distress will come from that? So Krishna himself have told this in the Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully. If you look, you will see. No matter how much attention you give it to this body, the body will have problem. Body will have, some problem will come. It's a great mystery, this material body. Completely great mystery. Amazing thing it is, this material body. Everyone tries to understand one's own body, but he never understands his own body. Isn't it? He never understands his own body. And therefore, you know what Krishna says? Yachandi avrutato bhayam. The only one thing what he does is that till you die, it will continuously frighten you. Continuously it will frighten you. Throughout the life, it has come and it will frighten you till you die and leave this world. That's all it does, nothing else. It will simply frighten you day after day after day. And that you can understand how it is. Only somebody has to tell you, are you having a regular checkup? Immediately you went to the doctor, got checked up for BP, for all other checkups, whatever, diabetes, for cancer. And then cancer, there is a varieties of them, 10-20 times of cancer. Which one is coming, you don't know. So then all tests for all of them. Then you go another place, second opinion, because you want to hear that you got something. Therefore, till you hear that, you keep on going, asking everybody to confirm. You want confirmation because inside, you already confirmed it's there. It's there. This is why asadabhidhyanam. This is called asadabhidhyanam. Don't take these words in a light-hearted way. When Krishna says asadabhidhyanam means all these things. This is all our asadabhidhyanam. It's not, that is the problem in the Bhagavatam, that so many things are spoken in the Bhagavatam. We just read it, we take the translation, and say, oh, you should not think about this body, fine, that's it. That's not how it is. You have to think also, what is this I am actually meditating upon? What's my life? My whole life is centered around this asadabhidhyanam. That's all I am doing whole lifetime, caring for the body, looking after this body, maintaining the body. I'm particular about the clothes I'm wearing, and I'm particular about my appearance, how others see me, and how I'm present myself to others. Apart from that, inside I need to be healthy. All the drugs on time, medicines I'm taking on time every day, and the food I'm particular about it. I'm particular about the sleep, sleeping hours. So many things, all in relationship with the body, isn't it? Asadabhidhyanam. It's all asadabhidhyanam, nothing but asadabhidhyanam. So Krishna is saying here, tasmad hitva asadabhidhyanam. First thing to give up. So because it is like that, many times when we get sickness, when we become ill also, we will sometimes fall into that. Especially when you become ill. That is why we say that in order to execute spiritual life also, we need a healthy body. We need a healthy body. On the other hand, if when distress comes through illnesses or we feel depressed about that, if our attention turns towards Krishna, that distress also can help us in that situation. There are many devotees who approach Krishna in great distress with the body, with the bodily problems. And that is there in the Bhagavatam, that is there in the history. Many, many devotees have approached Krishna because of their distress due to the bodily problems. But Krishna is saying here, if it is leading to asadabhidhyanam, it is no use at the end. But if it turns into Krishna consciousness and forcing you to surrender to Krishna more, then it is worthwhile. If you get a serious illness, and you know that your days are numbered, already the notices come, either email or by phone call or whatever way it has come, doesn't matter. If it has come, and if you still think that the body, somehow if I can protect the body, Krishna says don't think about it too much. At least that becomes asadabhidhyanam then.
But on the other hand, it has come now. That's what Krishna has given it to me. Whatever time I have, let me take that to Krishna consciousness. And surrender to Krishna without understanding, Krishna says, that very same disease which has become a cause of anxiety can become a cause for liberation. Like he spoke before. We'll have to discuss this in the next Sunday. What was the Srila Prabhupada? Just a few minutes. We'll sing the...